The portion of God's word that we'll focus on this morning comes from Romans chapter 10. Let's begin with prayer. O Lord, send us on ways where faith transcends timidity, where love informs and hope sustains both life and ministry. Amen. In a recent book called The Millennials, the author Tom Rainer reports an interesting statistic that 96% of millennials, people in the millennial generation, believe that they will someday accomplish something great with their lives. Now, at first blush, that might not seem like it's all that interesting or surprising of a statistic. I mean, regardless of generation, not too many kids grow up dreaming of being a total slacker someday, right? But what is interesting about that statistic is the way that 96% of millennials define what it means to accomplish something great. He says that according to millennials, accomplishing something great means doing something good for the greater good of humanity. Millennials want to do something that will have a lasting impact on others, that will make a difference in the world. Not just the personally beneficial kind of accomplishments like making a lot of money and owning a really nice house. And so for millennials, that looks different sometimes. Maybe it's a career in politics or a life of activism. Maybe it's running a nonprofit organization or philanthropic giving or protecting the environment. Maybe it's parenting or teaching so that they can have a great influence on the next generation. Now, those are all good, impactful things that people can do. But I think there's one action that stands alone as the one action that is the most impactful, the most important thing that we can do here in this life for the greater good of humanity. That is evangelism. Sharing the good news of Jesus, the Savior of the world, with the people of this world. But here's where it gets a little bit tricky. I referenced just a second ago, 96% of millennials believe they're going to accomplish something great with their lives. But another recent report by the Barna Group states that 47% of practicing Christian millennials believe that it is wrong to share one's personal beliefs with someone of a different faith in the hopes that they will someday share that same faith. What that means is nearly half of practicing Christian millennials believe that doing evangelism is wrong. So what that means is if I'm going to stake the claim that evangelism is the most important, impactful thing that we can do for the greater good of humanity, I've got some convincing to do. Not just for people in the millennial generation, but I'm sure for people of all ages. Now, maybe you're thinking, well, of course the evangelism pastor is going to tell us that evangelism is the most important thing that we can do. But this isn't just my opinion. As we dig into God's word today, specifically Paul's letter to the Romans, we're going to see that this is God's opinion too. That sharing the gospel of Jesus is the most important, most impactful thing that we can do for the greater good of humanity. And as we dig into it, we'll see that Paul uses sort of a series of rhetorical questions, a sort of a cause and effect progression to highlight the necessity of evangelism. Paul starts out by quoting the prophet Joel. He says, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is sort of the basic truth premise at the end of Paul's logical chain that he's laying out for us here. Everything else flows from this thought. Now, calling on the name of the Lord is kind of another way to talk about having faith in Jesus as the Savior. Calling on the name of the Lord in worship or in prayer in faith. And so what he's saying here is everyone, and note that, everyone, regardless of your race or your age or your gender or your social standing, everyone who has faith in Jesus and calls on the name of the Lord will receive the eternal gift of salvation. And having stated that truth at the end of the progression, then Paul starts sort of working his way backwards to show how we get to that point. He says, how then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? To sort of summarize what he's saying here, again, calling on the name of the Lord in faith leads to eternal salvation. But how can you call on the name of the Lord in faith if you don't believe in Jesus? And how can you believe in Jesus if you've never even heard about Jesus? And how can you have heard about Jesus if no one has ever told you about Jesus? And right there we see why evangelism is the most important, the most impactful thing that we can do for the greater good of humanity. In order for someone to have saving faith in Jesus, someone needs to tell people about Jesus. You see, evangelism affects people's eternity. It affects change for people's eternal life. Now, things like politics or activism or philanthropy or humanitarian efforts, they can certainly affect good changes, but ultimately those are only temporary changes. And that doesn't mean that they're not good accomplishments, but it means that we're comparing changes that come for eternity with changes that come on a temporary basis. And so is there really any sort of thing that we can do in this world with our lives that will have a greater impact and make a greater difference for a person than to share with them the good news that they have a Savior who's come to take away all of their sins, to take them away from an eternity of suffering in hell, and in turn give them an eternity of perfection and joy with God in heaven? You see, evangelism affects people's eternity. But it doesn't just affect people's eternity either. See, it also impacts people's greater good right here, now, in the present. If we're concerned about the way that our society views the sanctity of life, we can't change people's hearts unless we point them to Jesus, who gives every life value from the womb to the nursing home. And if we're concerned about the divisive political climate in our country, we can't change people's hearts unless we point them to Jesus, who loved his enemies so much that he was willing to die and suffer hell in order to save them. And if we're concerned about positively influencing the next generation, we have to tell our children about their Savior. But then what about those people that I referenced before, the 47% of millennials who think that sharing your faith and claiming to have the truth is downright wrong and unloving and pushy? Well, let me ask you this. Would you think it was a loving action for me if I saw a little child in the road with a truck bearing down on them and I dove and tackled that child out of the way before they got run over? Would that be a loving action, or would that be an unloving action? Because who am I to say that the child would have actually gotten run over? Who am I to make that decision? And maybe I could have offended or hurt them by tackling them off the road. It's kind of a facetious example. But that illustration and the thought behind it actually is voiced by another pretty prominent name. Maybe you've heard of him. His name is Penn Jillette. If you don't know Penn Jillette, he's the big guy who talks from the Penn and Teller comedy magic show. Oh, and it's important for you to also know that Penn Jillette is a very ardent vocal atheist. And yet, this is what he says about evangelism. I don't respect people who don't proselytize, sort of another word for discipling or doing evangelism. If you believe that there is a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life, and you think it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward, how much do you have to hate someone to believe everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? Again, this is an atheist saying this, a man who does not believe in God and thinks that the church does more harm than good, and yet he gets it. He He understands the motivation and the thought behind doing evangelism. And to think that evangelism is unloving or unnecessary really fails to take into account what God says. That sharing Jesus with people who need to hear about him has an effect on people's eternal life, either for the good or for the bad. So we want to share the gospel because it has an effect on people's eternal life. And the second reason that we want to share the gospel is the last phrase that Paul uses in his logical progression, which is actually sort of the first thought. He says, "And how can they preach unless they are sent?" See, in order for someone to go and share the good news of Jesus with somebody, they need to have someone who sent them with that message. And I think that's kind of the reason that Paul sort of works backwards in this progression. Instead of starting at the beginning and going to the end, he starts at the end and goes back to the beginning. Because when he does this, it leaves the emphasis on what's truly important. It leaves the emphasis on the one who sends the messenger with the message. That is, Jesus. The same Lord who floats the opportunity out there for Isaiah, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" It's the same Lord who instructed Peter and James and John, "From now on, you will catch men." It's the same Lord who commissions all Christians, including you and me, to go and make disciples of all nations. Now, if we just went out there and we evangelized our own message because we felt like that was the right thing to do to get our opinions out there, then maybe somebody could say it's a wrong thing for us to do, to push our opinion on other people. But that's not what evangelism is. It's not our opinion or our desire to share it. It's coming from someone else. You see, the word that Paul uses there for preach, it literally means to herald. Now, a herald is a kind of messenger who has been specifically chosen to carry a message and give it to someone else. And so when we share the gospel, we are serving as heralds. We are taking the message of Jesus, the message that he himself gives to us, and we are taking it to other people because Jesus asks us to. Not pushing it on them because we want to, but doing it because Jesus wants us to. And because it's his message. And so as we herald the message of the gospel, God also tells us that the Holy Spirit goes to work to have an impact, to create or to strengthen faith in people's hearts through that gospel. As Paul writes, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. But if the gospel has such great impact for people's lives and eternity, and Jesus is the one who gives us the message and sends us on our way, then why do so often we find ourselves dodging those opportunities instead of making the most of them? Why do even I, the evangelism pastor here at Mount Olive, have to often shake my head at the many times that I have kept my mouth shut instead of sharing Jesus with people? That's because Satan understands the power of evangelism too. Just as Paul wrote, "But not all the Israelites accepted the good news." See, just like in Paul's day, not everyone who hears the gospel is going to believe it. Not everyone who hears the gospel is going to accept it. In fact, oftentimes people are going to reject that gospel. And that can make doing evangelism pretty intimidating, right? If all we had to do was walk out into the street and share some passages from Scripture and everyone would come to faith, we'd all be busting out the doors to do evangelism. But the fact is, that's not always what happens. Sometimes people reject the gospel and reject the messengers who bring the gospel. And that can make doing evangelism a bit disheartening. Maybe you've tried to evangelize a friend or a family member or a coworker time and time and time again, but they just seem to keep blowing you off. And it's at times like that where Satan is very quick to step into your head with his lies and say, "You know what? You're just not very good at this evangelism stuff. You don't know what to say. You're not eloquent enough. Just keep your mouth shut and let the other people do the talking." See, evangelism can oftentimes leave us feeling a lot like those disciples out in their fishing boats, lamenting to the Savior, "Lord, We've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything. But Jesus tells us to keep casting in our nets. And when he does that, do we trust in him and keep throwing our nets into the water? Or do we lose hope and give up fishing? See, Satan wants us to give up. Satan wants us to silence the message because Satan also knows that faith comes from hearing the message. We have to admit that we often fail to share Jesus with people who need him. We have to acknowledge that we are unworthy messengers with unclean lips, like Isaiah said. So often we should throw ourselves down at Jesus' feet and plead, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." But that's exactly why we share Jesus. Because Jesus is the God of forgiveness. Because Jesus came to this world and he offered himself as the sacrifice on the altar of the cross, so that every single one of your sins may be atoned for and all of your guilt be removed, including the times when we have failed to share Jesus in the way that we should. And that changes the way that we look at evangelism. That changes our attitude about sharing Jesus with other people. Moved and motivated by the love that Christ has shown to us, we, like Isaiah, can cry out joyfully, "Lord, here am I. Send me." And know that God will accomplish something great through your sharing of the gospel. And you know what Jesus, or what God says here? How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. And Paul here is quoting the prophet Isaiah, who is talking about the beautiful feet of the messengers who would go to the people of Israel who were in slavery and exile and bring to them the beautiful message that freedom was coming. And you have beautiful feet as you carry that same beautiful message to the people of this world about freedom from slavery and exile to sin, death, and hell. And notice that the emphasis is on your feet, not your beautiful lips or your beautiful eloquent tongue. Because doing evangelism isn't about how well you can speak. It's about carrying the message. Carrying the beautiful, perfect message that Jesus himself has given to you and promises that it will work. Nearly 60 years ago, there was a man named Gleason. And Gleason worked at an energy factory called Consumers Power. A rather mundane job. He sat in a room all day and monitored a bunch of gauges and dials. And on nice days at work, Gleason would take his lunch and he'd walk across the street and he would eat it under a really nice big shade tree. Now, if that's all that I ever told you about Gleason, I doubt that many of us would say, "Well, there's a man who accomplished great things for the greater good of humanity." But I think he did. I used to call him Grandpa Gleason. Not because we were in any way related, but because that man had a huge impact on my life. See, when Gleason would take his lunch and walk across the street and sit under that tree was in my grandparents' yard. And at that time, my grandparents weren't Christians. They didn't believe in God. And neither did my mother, who was 4 years old. And as my grandparents struck up a friendship with that man who would sit under their tree and eat his lunch, he started telling them about Jesus. And they heard it. And they believed it. And that's why my mom can remember being baptized at 4 years old. See, I don't know what would have happened had Gleason not taken the message of Jesus to my grandparents. Would my mom have grown up to be a believer? Would my parents have gotten married? And if they had, would I have followed in mom's unbelieving footsteps or in dad's believing footsteps? Without that man's evangelism to my grandparents, would I be standing in this pulpit right now sharing the message of Jesus with you? I don't know. But God did. And Gleason's in heaven now. And so is my grandma. And I look forward to the day when I can see him again and thank him and introduce him to my family. And God willing, introduce you to him as well. The people that God has allowed me to share the gospel with by his grace. And so what I want you to do today is to think about that person in your life. That person who first shared Jesus with you. Whether it was your parents at your baptism, whether it was your spouse, whether it was a friend or a coworker, whether it was a pastor or a teacher or a stranger in a grocery store. I want you to think about that person and think about what an impact that person had on your life by sharing Jesus with you. I want you to give thanks for that person or those people today because God has accomplished something great through them and their sharing of the gospel. He brought you to him. And remembering that and remembering the great love of our God, let's go out into the world today and every day for the rest of our lives and let's be Isaiah's. Let's be Peter's. Let's be Gleason's. And see the many ways that God is going to accomplish great things through the work that we do sharing the gospel with people who need to hear it. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We'll now confess our Christian faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed.